title of the message tonight is Never Quit, Never Quit. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to begin reading in verse number 28, and we're going to read down through chapter 10 of verse number 10 of chapter 41. So let's begin reading in verse number 28. It says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw and feared the ends of the earth, were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, O Israel, art my servant, Jacob, who have chosen the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness." Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, again, we ask that you just gather our thoughts as we have gathered around your word. We pray that our attention span would be drawn to you. God, I just again would pray that you just remove the disturbing obstacles that might come in. God, I pray that you just use me to speak to your people. It is a great privilege to be doing so. Thank you for your folks who are here tonight. I thank you for their faithfulness and their willingness to come. God, I pray for a pastor. You just, again, continue to raise and lift him up. Give him strength. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Never, ever, ever quit. We have two options in life. One is to go forward and keep taking on a daily grind, which seems kind of hard at times. Doesn't seem like there's an end in sight. But we continue to move forward to take on that daily grind, whatever it may be. The other option that we have is we can quit. We can give up. We can walk away, not having to do with anything ever again. Just turn our backs and be done with it. At times, it seems easier just to give up and quit. Who would agree with me on those things? There have been many times where I was like, why am I doing this? Why don't I just quit? Why don't I just give up? But the forward progress is much more rewarding than the progress of quitting. And I think that's what drives a lot of us to continue to go on, is that forward progress. Quitting, I've noticed in life, will show the true character of the person. I've been involved in sports on many different occasions, and you can tell when a team has given up against the opponent. It's usually during the middle of the game where they just decide, you know what, there's nothing that I can do to overcome this match that we are in, and so we're just going to quit. And a lot of people will quit on those things. And it shows their true character. Last night I was able to watch the Husker volleyball team play. And I watched that because really that's the only thing as a Husker fan we have to look forward to, is their volleyball program. And I would be probably honest in saying this. If they were to fill Memorial Stadium with 85,000 people for a volleyball game, people will show up. But I began to watch this match take place, and it was pretty grueling. I didn't see the first set. I kept up to date on the second one and how it was a close match. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to turn it there. I'm going to see what's going on. And then I thought the Huskers were going to pull through. I thought they were going to take this. But I saw the fight, and I saw the determination upon the team that they were playing, which was the Longhorns at that time. And they were already down two sets. And they decided during that game, it was a back and forth during the third set. They're just going back and forth. One point was exchanged, and vice. It was a good game. But then they ended up taking that game, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? They're in the home crowd. They're in Texas. I see Texas coming back and taking this thing. Well, they get to the fourth set, and it was a pretty back and forth for the first 10, 11 points. And then out of nowhere, I see Nebraska take this big surge in the game. They got, I think it was an 8 or 9 point lead, maybe a couple more points than that. But during that time, I saw something take place, and that was the other team giving up. They looked defeated. Quitting will show the true character of the person. But the one who continues to move forward shows what they are made of, and that's called true grit. I have seen true grit given in many people's lives. Have they gone through some sort of a sickness? Have they gone through maybe some financial troubles? But more, I've seen it through the health decline of individuals, and that is true grit. Keep moving forward. We know the greatness of God, and there's only other word that I can really describe this because my mind doesn't think like everybody else. But we know that the greatness of God is this: it's massive. It's massive. With that being said, man is weaker than God. And we are. We're weaker than God. So here in Isaiah, we have a few reminders of the greatness of God and what we can depend on or what we can get from him because of his greatness. You turn back to chapter 40 and verse number 1. There is something that needs to take place as we are to deal with the weakness of man. And you'll see this in verse number 1. It says, "Comfort ye." You know, as we begin to see someone go through some physical changes in their life or maybe something else that has come up, we are to be a comfort to them. In other words, we are to be an encouragement to them. So we are to try to bring comfort to those whose strength is no longer like it was. I remember a pastor saying a few years ago, a man reaches his full strength between the ages of 42 and 45. Well, I'm past 45 now, and so I've reached my full strength, and now I'm on the decline in the eyes of man. And so we need to comfort those or encourage those who no longer has the strength that they once had before. The second thing that needs to take place for us during those times for those people of great need, and this could be you and I in this situation as well. We think of the elderly most often when they begin to lose their strength, but the young lose their strength as well. Some lose it very quickly. So the second thing that needs to take place during that time is to cry out unto the Lord, recognizing that our weakness needs help. The third thing that we need to remind those of God, is God's great strength. With God's great strength, we're able to overcome many things in life. And so as we remind him, those of his great strength and what he's able to do in their life as well. So what is it that we need to remind those of? One, we see in verse number 28 of chapter number 40, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth?" So we need to remind folks, he is the creator of this world. And we see his creation being brought to life in the book of Genesis chapter number 1. We look around and we still are able to see his creation. We're still able to see his handiwork. And by the way, it's very beautiful. So we remind those that he is the creator of the world. Second thing that we need to do is God's strength isn't a temporary strength. It says here, "The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary." God's strength has never left his body. Not once has it ever left him. His strength is eternal. It never gets weak, nor does it get weary, according to Scripture. So as I say this, let this just sink in just a tad bit, because here's what happens when man begins to perform a task. Men will go out, and I'm not just saying men, but women as well. But when that takes place, whether it be a physical task or whether it be a mental task, people begin to lose their strength. They begin to become weary. I'll be honest with you, after Sundays, I'm done. I'm shot. I'm gonna be honest with you right now. As soon as I'm done, I'm out of here. I'm going home because I'm shot. There is a weariness that comes about you, whether it's physical or mental. We just become tired and weak. But we don't need to focus on those things. What we need to focus on tonight is in verse number 29, that we'll begin to see some things that are very important for us. And verse number 29 is very encouraging. So let me begin to read this once again. We'll pick this up. It says, "The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." Verse 29 becomes more encouraging. It says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." So why is this encouraging? Because he giveth power to the faint. Faint isn't somebody who has lost their consciousness. Faint is somebody who is on the decline, or they have become feeble in their years. They're no longer who they are used to be. But here's what God does for them. He gives them power. He gives them power. He goes on, he says, and he restores the weak. He restores the one who has become weak or who is on the decline. He raises them up, and he gives them hope once again. See, I believe there's no quitting in the life of a believer because of who we serve. But so often it seems like that's the easier thing to do. Back in chapter number 38, we didn't read this, but we see that Hezekiah was dealing with some ailments in his life. It looked like as if he was on the brink of death. But he cried out unto the Lord, and guess what took place? The Lord heard the prayer, and he answered the prayer, and he gave Hezekiah another 15 years. Amen to that. You know, God can do the impossible and make it possible. He restores, he gives strength, he gives hope once again. So he added to him another 15 years of his life. He giveth power to the weak. God continues not to only to restore power, but in that same verse, it says, as we read this, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He gives strength to those that have no might. Man, through his years, will lose his strength. His might will never be the same, but God is able to restore the strength of the man. You know, I heard that this afternoon, some of our young people, along with Jeff and Teresa, you notice I didn't say young, they're young, I said along with the young people, they went out and they went caroling. And they went to some houses of some folks who attend here, and they're being a blessing to those folks, and I appreciate that so much, their willingness. But I will tell you this, it becomes tiresome. Most of them were here at church this morning, actually all of them were here at church this morning. And as soon as church got over, they all climbed in the van. I don't know if they went to eat somewhere. But I imagine if you're with teenagers, the first thing on their mind is, where are we going to eat? Is McDonald's open or is Burger King open? You have to ask those questions because you don't know what's open anymore. Last night, we're coming home from Omaha last night, and we're hungry. This is late. I haven't had anything to eat all day except for a small portion of fries that Caitlin gave to me. I thank her for that. But this is around 8 o'clock last night, and we're looking for a place to eat. This is 8 o'clock. We go to Village Inn over in Omaha. Guess what? They say, we can't help you. It's going to be a 45-minute wait because somebody came in and they lied about their party. And I said, well, what about all this empty places over here? And he replies, we only have two helpers. Like, okay, sorry, dude. I'll walk out of here. I'm hungry. I'm not going to wait another 45 minutes for a Village Inn. If it was something else, like Texas Roadhouse or Longhorn, I would wait. But we walked out, and so we just rode down the street and we go to Burger King. You can't go to Burger King. They got the doors closed. So we went to the next blessed place that we would like to take our service, and we walked into Arby's. Thank God they were open. Because I went and asked them. I walked inside. I said, can we eat inside? And the guy just looked at me. He's like, yeah, if you want. I'm looking around. There's nobody else in there. He's like, are you sure? Yeah, go ahead. But anyway, you got to ask those questions because you don't know what's going on anymore. But anyway, they took probably about 3 hours this afternoon of their own time. And I bet you they became tired. And they're all here tonight. I thank God for that. God restores their strength. And I know, Jeff, his feet aren't the same like they used to be. And I know his feet have become tired throughout the day. God restores the strength. And I'm thankful for that. Man will lose his strength, but God will restore those things. It doesn't only happen to man, but it happens to the youth. As we read down in verse number 30, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and a young man shall utterly fall. But the key thing happens to lie in verse number 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, what's the key factor here? Well, I just read it to you, and it's this word. It's called waiting. It's called waiting. Waiting is something that none of us like to do. I proved it to you just by my illustration I just gave a few minutes ago. I didn't want to wait 45 minutes. I'm hungry. I want the food now. And so we don't like to wait. Waiting is hard to do, especially when someone is in need of something, especially strength. The last thing we want to do when it comes to us losing our strength and we know that we need it, the last thing that we want to do is wait. But that's one of the requirements that is said here in verse number 31. Wait upon the Lord. Here is something that happens after we prayed faithfully, and then we are waiting, and the waiting process has begun. The verse continues to say some things that are very encouraging, just like verse number 29. So in verse number 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We that wait upon the Lord after we have prayed faithfully and we're seeking His face and we're wanting our strength to come back to us, or we're wanting some help in this area, it says here, He shall renew their strength. It doesn't stop here. It continues with this affirmation. It says, God says, I'm going to do more than just give you strength. He goes on and says, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Meaning the things that you do will seem effortless. You'll be able to run and not become tired. How many of us adults have ran in the last year and we've tired out just going 3 or 4 steps? I've gotten tired. A few months ago, I played basketball for the first time in 2 years. And I about died. I didn't want to play no more. I'm like, what happened? Did I lose my strength in this area? But we'll be able to run and not be tired. Last night, my wife and I, this was funny. I don't really think about this. She goes, Chad, let's stop right here. And let's count our steps that we take towards the truck. I said, okay, that's fine. I don't know what she's trying to prove. But I obliged to this, and so we're going. I'm counting in my head, and I got to the truck. She goes, okay, how many did you get? I said, I got 24. She goes, okay, I got 30. See, everybody's a little bit different in those areas, meaning, hey, just because you're long-legged don't mean you have to walk near as fast, because I got to walk just as fast, twice as fast, to keep up with you. I think that's what her point was last night. But anyway, we can be able to run and not faint. He gives us strength. So again, we have two options in life. One, we can move forward. Or two, we can just simply quit. And I'll admit, as I said earlier, quitting at times seems easier. But quitting isn't the right answer. You know, I'm thankful for a lot of the elderly folks that we have in our church who have so much physical ailments in their life, but there's no quit in them. They have a desire to keep going forward. There are times that they're not with us because of an ailment that has come in their life. They've gotten sick, and it might be a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks, but they're back because they don't want to quit. They want to keep going forward. Quitting is not an option. It's not the right answer. So here's why we come to the point of wanting to quit. And it's for this reason. Because we fear what tomorrow will hold. We fear what tomorrow will hold. That is a result because we have come to a point where we no longer have the patience to wait on God. And that's the only thing that we're asked to do. We're just asked to wait. But waiting is hard for us to do. We're not asked to do anything else. We're not asked to get ahead of God. We're not asked to outrun God. We're not asked to do those things. All we're asked and required to do is to wait upon Him. So here's why we might get to the point of quitting instead of moving forward. And that is this. We're walking and depending upon our own flesh. That's why we get into the position of wanting to quit, because we're dependent upon our flesh and we're not dependent upon God to get us through those difficult times. Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16, gives us an answer on how we are to walk. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary, the one to the other, so ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 16 gives us the key in how we're to walk, and we're to walk in the Spirit. This is how we are to keep moving forward, not walking in our own flesh, not wanting to quit, but if we're to walk in the Spirit, that will give us the ability to keep moving forward in our lives. Whether our health declines, or whether our marriage might be in trouble, or whether our relationships with other people might be struggling, or whether we might be having difficulties on our job, we are to keep walking forward because we're walking in the Spirit and we're not walking in our flesh. We're able to wait upon the Lord when we're walking in the Spirit. But honestly, that is what we fear. We fear to give up our flesh. We fear to give up our own control. And we fear to walk in the Spirit. So why do we quit? Why do we not wait upon the Lord? It's our fear. It's our fear. Jump down to verse number 10 back in Isaiah of chapter number 41. It says, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So how are we to not walk in our flesh? By not fearing to walk in the Spirit. And here are some four reasons that will help us go along. And it's found in verse number 10. It says, "Because I am with thee." I am with thee. You know, no matter what you go through, no matter how your body might be feeling at this point in time, realize that I created you. And I am with you. I know your body better than anybody else. I know it better than the doctors. I know it better than the scientists. I am your God. I am with thee. Don't be afraid. It goes on and gives us a few more reasons for us not to fear. And that is, He is with us. Number two, it says here, He will give us strength. He will give us strength. And I know I'm just like anybody else in here. There are some days that I just don't have the strength that I used to have. And I'm a young guy. I get those things. But I'm able to realize that even though I don't have it, I can call upon God who can give it to me. And I'm thankful for those things. We've had some folks here in the last couple of weeks who have had some pretty severe sickness in their life. And I know that they've asked for prayer, but I also know this, they've reached out themselves and asked God to give them strength and healing in their body. And he's done those very things to them and for them. Third, as we go on here, it says, I will help thee. You know, that ought to give you great comfort, knowing that God is not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you helpless, but God's going to help you. Whatever situation you're going through, he's going to help you. I remember growing up, and I struggled with school. I really did. And there are some things that just I could not comprehend. And I, Mom and Dad, they tried to do their best for me, and God bless them for that. But I was just not, again, I wasn't a very smart man. But I remember on many different occasions, Mom would say, Chad, why don't you just ask God for help? I'm like, wow, that's a brilliant answer. You know, when I did those things, through their wisdom, their suggestions on doing those things, I remember on several different occasions where I asked God, God, please give me the understanding of being able to figure these problems out. You know what God did? He heard my cry. He heard my prayer. He knew that I meant it, and he helped me. And I was able to overcome some pretty big things in my life. And I appreciate those things. God is my help. He will help us. And fourth, he says, he will withhold thee with thy right hand of his righteousness. You know what I get out of that? God's going to hold us. You know, even though we become weak and we become feeble and our strength leaves us, he will hold us. I find that very encouraging. You know, the last few days I've had to hold my father up to get him up and get him out and about getting going. I'm only able to do those things because God's given me the strength to do those things. But as I begin to think about that picture, I was actually doing this afternoon. I was actually holding my dad up as he's walking. But what I didn't realize in life at times is God's always holding me up. And I thank God for that. So we don't really have no reasons to fear to walk in the Spirit. We have every reason to fear of walking in the flesh because we know where the flesh will take us. We know what the flesh will do to us. So let this be an encouragement with us. God is with us. He will give us strength. He will help us. And he will uphold thee. I don't know about you, but as I begin to get older and as I begin to go through more difficult things in life, I'm thankful that I have a God that I'm able to call upon. I say, God, I need your help. You know, there are some folks in this room who have taught me a great lesson in these past few months. And that is this. It's been a great encouragement to me. And it comes from verse number 31. Wait upon the Lord. Some people don't have the patience to wait. And I appreciate that willingness, that desire not to get ahead of God, not to try to outdo him, not to try to make their circumstance any worse, but simply waiting for God to give them the answer that they're looking for. I tell you what, when that happens, that's amazing. And I appreciate those life lessons that people teach me throughout this day. Wait upon the Lord. He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I want to thank you. You know how fatigued I am. And I thank you for giving me the strength to get through this day. I'm only able to do it because of you. God, I pray as we go forward in our week, we know that there are going to be some things in our lives that's going to change. We're not going to understand. But God, I pray that you just give us the wisdom to be waiting upon you. God, I pray for the ones who are in need of your strength tonight. Lord, we've prayed for Pastor. We have prayed for Mrs. Springer. But God, I've had Beth's dad come to my mind. I've had Saunders' dad come to my mind. And so, God, I pray that you just renew their strength. Lord, I pray that you would give them healing in their bodies as well. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to call upon you in our time of struggle and our time of great need. We thank you tonight. Bless us as we go away from here, and we ask it in your name. Amen.